This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Do you remember what the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is? If you don't worry about it, because nobody else pays any attention to it anyway. So remembering what it is will do you very little good these days. The Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution says, quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." To me, it makes all the sense in the world. You can't have people being searched and their property being seized without a warrant, and that warrant showing probable cause. But a funny thing happened in the aftermath of the war on terror during the Bush administration, and this is not a Bush administration only thing, because everybody, Democrats and Republicans, have united in extending all of these things since 2001. In the aftermath of the 9/11 attacks, all of a sudden, the government wanted the power to stop terrorism. So they started doing things like the Patriot Act. They started doing things like warrantless wiretapping, a whole new abuse of the FISA process. You ever ask yourself what FISA actually stands for? Do you know what the F stands for in FISA? Foreign. And yet, all everything that emerges from FISA that we hear about these days is domestic, but that's a little in the weeds. The Fourth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is supposed to protect Americans from government abuse of power. And here you have a situation, given what happened on Friday, where they have now extended for another 2 years the ability of the government to spy on you without a warrant. The Fourth Amendment. So you have members of Congress, you have the administration, you have the Supreme Court. They all do what? They take an oath to uphold the Constitution, including that section that I just read to you. And U.S. government agency officials in the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, acting under the color of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, routinely search and retain information on Americans' phone calls, emails, and text messages without a warrant. Warrantless electronic surveillance by law is supposed to be limited to foreigners. That's why that F in FISA stands for foreign. However, in spite of all these agencies promising reform, the government flagrantly abuses the Fourth Amendment and does use Section 702 of FISA to spy on Americans without obtaining a court or ordered warrant. So Friday, and this is one of those issues that I just love, because it's one of those issues where you have people on the far left and the far right uniting to do the right thing, and you have people in the establishment in both parties, on the left and in the right, doing what I perceive to be the wrong thing. So on Friday, Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona, he attempted to amend the bill that they were going to consider, to which would extend the FISA Section 702, to expressly prohibit such illegal, unconstitutional, and warrantless searches of Americans. All Andy Biggs said is all of these searches require a warrant. Now, in any honest society, you wouldn't even need this amendment because, of course, it would require a warrant because that's what the Fourth Amendment says. But we just ignore that whenever we want. So Andy Biggs puts this amendment out there to make sure that it requires a warrant. Shock. So the amendment was 212 to 212, a tie vote. The House of Representatives defeated the Biggs Amendment in a tie vote and then went on to approve a 2-year extension of FISA. Any member of Congress who voted against the Biggs Amendment could have changed the outcome and cast a vote to protect our rights under the Bill of Rights. The vote on the Biggs Amendment and the FISA extension were two of the most consequential votes cast in Congress this year. One of the things that we saw, by the way, is Speaker Mike Johnson, who before he became Speaker, 2-3 months before he became Speaker, he was all for reining in things like abusing the FISA process. Now that he's Speaker, of course, now he's all about extending this power. And by the way, they did this. The Republicans who control Congress, albeit barely, they did this even though Trump was publicly calling for them not to extend the FISA Act. Now, they said that they were extending it by only 2 years instead of 5 years, and that was their compromise. But it's really interesting. And by the way, Trump did a big event with Speaker Mike Johnson on Friday, and they were acting very buddy-buddy on all sorts of things, including Ukraine aid. And he said he's a big fan of Mike Johnson. His exact words were, "I'm not a big fan of FISA, but I'm a big fan of Mike Johnson." Well, how do you say you're a big fan of Mike Johnson when this is a pretty consequential thing that ostensibly you act like you care about, meaning Trump? Well, I think we know why, right? Trump believes he's likely to be president, and he wants this same power for his Justice Department. But what a turnaround for Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson went from being able to teach about the Constitution, being a constitutional attorney, knew the Constitution backwards and forwards, to taking the Fourth Amendment and running it through a shredder and not thinking anything of it. You know, Richard Belzer, great comedian and great author, great actor, great person in life. I didn't know him, but he's somebody that I really liked. He used to do a routine. He used to do a stand-up routine that whoever gets elected president, doesn't matter who, the first thing they do is take them into a room, a dark room, and they show you an angle to the Kennedy assassination that no one has ever seen before. And then after they scare you out of your wits by showing you this video, you then turn to them and say, "Okay, just tell me who we're bombing next." And the reason it's funny is because it's kind of true. You get the sense that there's this tremendous power in Wall Street, among defense contractors, in big business, and married to forces within the government. The forces for status quo are so powerful that they ultimately always get their way. And this was an instance where the status quo, by hook or by crook, was going to get its way. So Mike Johnson actually voted to preserve this FISA power. That is, if you don't follow the goings on in the House of Representatives, that's so unusual. Usually the Speaker of the House doesn't vote. But in order to make sure this proposal didn't go down, he voted, violating years of precedent. Years ago, back when folks like Dennis Kucinich were in Congress. He's running again, by the way, in Ohio. I hope he wins. He voted against the Patriot Act because he wanted to protect people from the exact type of abuses of power by the government, which are occurring under Section 702 of FISA. And because he, Kucinich, saw this as an unconstitutional intrusion on the privacy rights of Americans. The abuse of FISA isn't the only constitutional issue at stake here, but it's the one that has gotten so much attention over the course of the last 20-something years, and not just by regular people, but by members of Congress. Congressman Darren LaHood, Lee Fong, who I'm hoping to get on the program this week, has a wonderful article about this. Congressman Darren LaHood expressed outrage last year over these snooping revelations. He claimed to have been victimized by the FBI spying powers. This is what Congressman LaHood said at the time.
I have had the opportunity to review the classified summary of this violation, and it is my opinion that the member of Congress that was wrongfully queried multiple times solely by his name was in fact me. This careless abuse of this critical tool by the FBI is unfortunate. Ironically, I think it gives me a good opportunity and a unique perspective on what's wrong with the FBI and the problems that the FBI has.
So here's a guy who expressed outrage last year over these snooping revelations, yet he himself voted to extend the surveillance program that spied on him without a court order. Imagine that. The guy got spied on without a court order, and he just voted to extend that same program. Well, it turns out Congressman LaHood is not as stupid as some people may think he is, because they inserted into this, Congress, a really impressive, by the way, even by congressional standards, how brazen this is. They inserted into this legislation that they just voted on Friday a special provision into the FISA reauthorization bill to protect themselves from government surveillance. Members of Congress are protected as opposed to the average citizen. They slipped in there a proposal to protect members of Congress from warrantless wiretapping. So this is what it now says. 702 section B subsection I requirement: the director of the FBI shall promptly notify appropriate congressional leadership of any query conducted by the FBI using a query term that is reasonably believed to be the name or other personally identifying information of a member of Congress, and also notify the member who's the subject of the query. So if the FBI is monitoring a member of Congress without a warrant under this FISA law, Section 702, they have to let them know. They don't have to let you know. They don't have to let your neighbor know. You could be spied upon for years, them collecting all sorts of information against you, which could then be used in a future criminal prosecution. But the members of Congress, they need to be informed because they slip that in there themselves. Really disgusting as far as I am concerned. One of the people that did the right thing on this, as far as I'm concerned, is a guy that I've just gotten more and more respect for, and I'm going to invite him on this program, Congressman Thomas Massie, who was totally opposed to this. This is what he said.
We're here today to pass a rule that will bring up a program for a vote that's been abused hundreds of thousands of times, abused by the FBI's own standards hundreds of thousands of times. But every time they've used it, they've actually abused it because they have not followed the constitutional requirement in the Fourth Amendment. Today, if we pass this rule, we'll have votes on six different amendments. Three of these amendments will expand the program, and three of these amendments will constrain the program. There are people who say, oh, this bill is fine as is, doesn't need any amendments. But here's the problem with that. If we believed that, why would we put exemptions for Congress in this bill? There are exemptions for Congress in the base bill of 702. What do they do? They say that if a congressman is going to have their privacy violated with the 702 program by the FBI, the FBI has to notify Congress. It goes on to say in this bill that if the FBI is going to tell us that they're doing it for our own good, they have to get permission from the congressman whose privacy is going to be violated. Why does that only apply to members of this body? The Constitution provides that we should give these protections to everybody.
He's exactly right. Exactly right. I couldn't have said it better. I'm glad, you know, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, because there's a lot of other stuff going on, certain presidents going on trial, certain Middle Eastern countries trying to bomb one another. And it's very easy for certain issues to be lost in the mix. And as far as I'm concerned, this is so important. And yet, this is one issue where there's just no daylight between establishment Democrats and establishment Republicans. And I think this is a complete violation of what the Bill of Rights is supposed to protect us from. 800-848-9222. Speaker Mike Johnson, who has totally flopped on this, was on Fox News yesterday with Maria Bartiromo, and she asked him about this. This is what Maria Bartiromo and Mike Johnson had to say.
Speaker, you said that President Trump is with you 100%. Is he also with you on FISA? Because they spied on his campaign. He posted, do not reauthorize FISA. I want to get your take on this surveillance tool, because you said you changed your mind on attaching an amendment, which included a warrant needed to spy on American citizens. You said you changed your mind after getting a classified briefing. Can you tell us what changed your mind in terms of an amendment where you need a warrant to spy on Americans?
Yeah, the president and I agree on the necessity of the uses of FISA. Remember, that's how we kill terrorists. That's how we stop terrorist plots on U.S. soil. That's why we haven't had another 9/11 since that terrible tragedy. President Trump used it, and he reauthorized it in 2018 for 6 years, and that's why it's up again. What we did was we changed the bill to fit his requirements and ours, and that is that it would expire now, 2 years from now, in the middle of his next administration.
Oh, two
so
years.
He's the one that gets to determine if it's working well. It's a critical tool to stop terrorism.
I mean, he said nothing. The only substantive things was, oh, it's going to expire during his administration. Well, they're going to do the same thing they did now. Whoever's in power is just going to keep this power for themselves. This is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. The opponents branded the notion that the government should need a warrant to read Americans' communication, which is, let's face it, that's what the Fourth Amendment's all about. They branded this as extreme. It's not extreme. It's what the Constitution says. Elizabeth Goyton, who has been a terrific advocate when it comes to civil liberty, she's the co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brenner Center for Justice. And she tweeted extensively about this. I would suggest that you check out her tweets. Members of Congress, this is what she tweeted, members of Congress whom I previously considered to be civil liberties champions, they know who they are, inexplicably abandoned the principles they have espoused in the past and voted to leave Americans vulnerable to continuing surveillance abuses. This is terrible. You had 86 Republicans, ostensibly the power of small government, the party of small government, 86 Republicans voted to extend this. Those of you that voted for these Republicans, I hope you're proud of this. I hope you are proud of this. The House also voted, by the way, for the amendment that a lot of people have been calling Patriot Act 2.0, which is going to force ordinary American businesses that provide Wi-Fi to their customers to give the NSA access to their Wi-Fi equipment to conduct 702 surveillance. The bill actually does that. Can you imagine? If you have any doubts, read it. Read the bill. Or you can actually read a post by a FISA court amicus brief, which took the unusual step of going public to voice its concerns. And it's a shame that the members of the House didn't listen. The next time you pull out your phone and start sending messages in a laundromat or a barbershop or in the office building where you work, just know that the NSA might very well have access to those communications. But unfortunately, that's not all. The House also passed an amendment authorizing completely suspicionless searches for the communications of non-U.S. persons seeking permission to travel to the U.S., even if the multiple vetting mechanisms already in place reveal no cause for concern. In addition to people seeking to work or to go on vacation here or study here, this could affect all sorts of visa holders who are longtime U.S. residents but still need permission to re-enter the country when returning from travel overseas. The only purpose this provision serves is to signal to people overseas who are seeking permission to enter the country, as well as people who are already here on visas, that they're not welcome. And, of course, to spy on them, which is what they want to do to everybody. There are all sorts of awful things in this bill. Read it when you can. Read it. There's a needless expansion of the definition of foreign intelligence so that they can't be mocked by people like me by using a bill that's intended to spy on foreigners to spy on Americans. There are provisions that weaken the role of civil liberties in FISA court proceedings. There's special treatment for members of Congress. The Senate should not pass this bill, but of course they will. The government already obtained approval from the FISA court to conduct Section 702 surveillance until April of next year without passing anything. So what's the urgency? According to the Biden administration, that approval will stay in place even if Section 702 lapses. So there's no rush here. It's essential that Congress fix this and get this right. The House got it egregiously wrong, Democrats and Republicans together, and it ought to be fixed in the Senate, however long that takes. So I will be sending a message to my senator and to the people running for Senate in my state this year, urging them not to pass this and to make this an issue. Comment as you see fit, 800-848-9222. But just as Thomas Massie said there, the most glaring issue here is the carve-outs that the members of Congress gave themselves. How do you do that? How do you do that? And unfortunately, I've become so jaded, I've become so beaten down that I expected this. I expected the system to get its way again. Mike Johnson, that great civil libertarian, that great constitutional authority, he's full of it. He's just as full of it as everybody else. So I think it's a real shame. Let me know what you think. 800-848-9222. I'd like to have Judge Napolitano on this week to talk about this because he knows the Constitution much better than I ever could, and all the relevant, all the relevant court cases, and he's followed this super closely. And again, a guy that was on this program recently that I've come to admire a great deal, Congressman Tim Burchett. He says he was disgusted with the passing of FISA. And the shame of it is, why aren't more members of Congress disgusted by this? 800-848-9222. E. Frank is in Astoria. Hello, E. Frank.
Yes. Hello, Frank. I want to tell you something. You might not believe this, but I believe that this bill will reconstruct the mistakes of the past. I don't believe in certain of the issues that Congress is talking about in regards to this bill. But if you look carefully, there have been extreme amount of abuses by corrupt police officers, by FBI agents that do not want to do what their supervisors say. And God knows you know very well, Frank, when J. Edgar Hoover was alive, they accused him of being a homosexual. They accused him of using illegal wiretaps against Dr. Martin Luther King, against Al Capone. So this bill actually helps rectify what's going on with surveillance. And another thing, Frank, no-knock warrants. I mean, that's something that's now that the police actually can just, you know, not knock on your door because they feel that, you know, it creates public outcry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily, at least there's a warrant there. I mean, I'm not for no-knock warrants, E. Frank, but I don't think that's a provision of this at all. Thank you. You know, I got a message here, and you could text me as well, 8168-MORANO. This person writes me, I'm sure the people that jumped off the top of the World Trade Center would be okay with their rights being violated a little bit if we could have stopped 9/11. I have no problem with this FISA bill. They're not going to bust me for hiring hookers. You know, that's exactly the problem with the mentality in this country. The government scares you. They do this in foreign policy as well. Whoever they want to bomb is the next Hitler. But that's the problem in this country. Is since September 11th, the government has used fear to have you give up more and more of your constitutional rights. And they'll keep doing that. They'll keep holding this specter of terrorist attack, terrorism, bad guys over you and get you to give up more and more of your freedom because you're scared. You know, the quote, and it gets repeated 9,000 times a day, you've probably got it by heart by now, but the quote that most comes to mind when I see a text message like that is the one from Benjamin Franklin. And those of you that watched have seen my favorite musical, 1776, probably know the quote well. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And I think, by the way, I'm looking forward to seeing Michael Douglas as Ben Franklin in that upcoming miniseries. We'll get into it a little bit later. If you have comments, you're welcome to go ahead and call in 800-848-9222. Noam Layden will join me next. I got to see Noam on Saturday. See if we can spend a little time chatting about that. This is The Other Side of Midnight, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started in to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. Best is yet to come, and babe, won't that be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. I'll wait till the warm-up's underway.
Wait, the best is yet to come by the great Frank Sinatra. This was another Ray Simonetti birthday bumper selection. You know, somebody that is also celebrating a birthday today, and he had a number of other Sinatra selections because he actually knew Sinatra, is Elliot Gordon, who's been a guest on this show many times and is a great guy. I want to wish Elliot Gordon a happy birthday as well. And if you ever have the opportunity to see one of Elliot Gordon's shows, absolutely check it out. We'll have to invite Elliot back on the program soon. Meanwhile, someone that I got to actually spend a little bit of time with on Saturday, very little, is back with us in the studio.
Stand by for the other side of midnight's news.
From New York City, the other side of midnight and its affiliated stations present national and international news with Frank Morano and news director Noam Layden. Their summary of the world news and personal comments. Get the rest of the story.
Hello, Noam.
Good morning, Frank. That was quite a ping pong party you threw the weekend.
I was glad that you were able to come. I know you were working late, and you got there late, and then you had to leave right away. Fortunately, it was after you were eliminated in the tournament because of the breaking news regarding Israel. So I'm sorry we didn't get to spend more time together, but I hope you had fun.
It was a lot of fun. I did notice I did have some strategy in my ping pong. I mean, I had to sort of throw that last game because I'd gotten the message.
I see.
I'd gotten the message that, Israel was under attack and I had to race back here to the studio from your home.
Priorities.
So I just had to let that game go. So I know Tony's listening because he's a big fan of yours. That's who I played against. Tony, I just had to let that game go. So I just want people to know that.
But you lost two games. Who was the other you lost to?
My other loss
was... Because you played well. I was actually
four games I was in. I don't remember who I lost to the first game.
Now, I know you played Minority Leader Joe Borelli.
Right.
Did you beat him?
No, that's the person I lost to.
Oh, so those are two folks.
I lost to the city councilman.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I was upset with myself. The one person I wanted to beat was a politician, and he just played a better game.
Naturally. By the way, on a much more serious note, speaking of the Israel situation, I know you have some family in Israel. How's everybody doing in light of the attacks there from Iran?
You know, what was sort of, or I want to say funny, but I'm looking for a better word,
sure,
was as I was doing my coverage, of course, I was trying to, then in between moments where I was talking to people who were sitting in shelters and stuff, trying to reach out to them on FaceTime or WhatsApp, and I couldn't get through to them. Then I just said, okay, well, I eventually realized that everybody was okay there. But when I finally did get through to them the next day, they slept, because in certain parts of the country, nothing was going on.
Ah.
So they were sleeping.
Oh, so everybody was good.
Everybody was fine.
Yeah, good. And the mood is, as far as you could tell, was pretty relaxed.
Yeah, Sunday morning, if you walk through Tel Aviv or Haifa or cities, that people were out at the beach, going to work, whatever. So things
I'm glad
back
you
to
said
normal.
That because I think a lot of Americans, given the way Western media is covering this, and I'm not criticizing it. Obviously, it's a big story, but they think that it's a war zone,
right?
And for the rank and file person in Israel, like your family, that's not the case.
Yeah, well, Sunday's a work day, right? Because Friday and Saturday's
right,
the weekend. So I called my brother because I hadn't heard from him, and he picked up and on FaceTime, and I could see he was at work. And I was like, what's going on there? And he goes, I'm at work.
that's good.
Funny.
By the way, I want to play for you some audio of the Heckle and Jekyll of our network, Andrew Giuliani and Curtis Sliwa. Did you see Andrew Saturday when you were there?
Oh, yeah. I hung out with him.
Okay,
I had a good time with him.
Yeah, he's actually a very good ping pong player. He beat me.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, I mean, not that I'm this great player, but I was very impressed. So he and Curtis have to poke some fun at me, as you might expect. This is the two of them from last night.
Well, I will tell you this. There was nobody in the South Shore of Staten Island yesterday who was pulling out their iPhone, smartphone, their flip phone to take any kind of photographs of the annual ping pong tournament of Frank Morano.
It's the Frank Morano Ping Pong Invitational, I believe is what it's called.
That
yes.
still
yes.
only has
it's
one
still
table.
Going on, I think. It's still going on. I got to tell you, Frank's wife, Rachel, is an absolute saint because she had 50 people over there, a bunch of kids. Grace ended up hanging out with Carmine. Carmine, just so you know, I do not own a weapon, but I am getting my NRA license. You may only be two, but I just want to let you know that I am a serious father of a daughter. So, don't be getting any ideas over there, Mr. Carmine Morano. But I got to tell you, we had a great time. There were only six games over the 6.5 hours that I ended up playing. And I had to go to the dinner in the city at 8:30. I thought it'd be plenty of time. I had to rush through my last games because there was only one ping pong table. Frank said he is already working on a second ping pong table. That's another thing, Curtis, I wanted to mention. Eric Adams is the mayor, and there happens to only be one ping pong table on the island of Staten. I can tell you that Richmond County would have multiple ping pong tables if Rudy Giuliani was still mayor.
No doubt, and this is what the Mama Luke, Frank Morano.
He's so jealous that you did not invite him to the party, Curtis.
I did invite him, but, you know, he's such, you know, whatever. But there you have it. It did go a long ways, but, you know, a good time was hopefully had.
I had this strategy when I walked in. I said, my strategy is to see which side of the table Frank plays on, because that's the side of the table I want. So I saw which side you played on, and I couldn't get it the first round against Joe Borelli, because Borelli's a politician. He lied it the same way I did. So he took the side of the table, which is clearly the better side, and that's how he was able to beat me.
Well, I'm glad you came. I'm sorry you didn't win. Congratulations again to the winner, Daniel Monroe, and his charity, American Cancer Society. Thank you to everybody that came also and brought either food. We have some coffee cake that Tom Brotto bought that's in the kitchen that's very good. And Tommy Gioli came with his wife Maureen. They drove a far way out, and they brought a nice little Bluey book for Carmine, and a really nice toy that he got a kick out of. But what else is in the news, non-ping pong related?
You know, the Olympics this summer are in Paris, France. The whole world will be watching. One of the events is the triathlon, which includes biking, running, and then swimming. And where they would swim in Paris is the Seine River. Now, the Seine River is kind of like what the Hudson River in New York City was 25 years ago. Just totally disgusting. And when the Olympic Committee went to Paris and said, we'll give you the Olympics, but hey, a big event is the triathlon. Your river is disgusting. You have to promise us this will be cleaned up in time for the 2024 Summer Olympics. They did, and the Olympic Committee gave them the okay. This weekend, they were supposed to do this upcoming event that's like a preliminary event to the triathlon in the Seine River. They went to test the water. The E. coli levels were so high that they had to cancel that portion of the event.
Wow.
And here we are. It is April already. The Olympics, of course, begin in July. So now the question is, will they be able to pull off this event that they promised the Olympics they'd be able to do? Don't know. We're watching, but this event that was supposed to take place over the weekend, bad, because they said the river's just still totally disgusting, even at that point, even after that promise.
How do you E. coli a river of that size?
Not smart enough to have the answer for that. Okay, I don't know, but clearly they had made some plans where they were going, you know, look what they do with the Hudson. The Hudson used to be terrible. It's clean now. I mean, you can't swim in the Hudson here because the current is so fast, but upriver, if you go into the Hudson Valley, you can swim in the Hudson River, and it's fine.
Yeah, no, I know Kramer did a fair amount of swimming in the Hudson River, or it might have been the East River. I think it was the Hudson.
Right, but either way, it's a clean body of water, so there is a way to do it. I love this. So imagine being an artist, and you work in an art museum. And most people who do security or work the art museums, a lot of times they're artists. They want to be around the art. They want to be around people who love art. So in this museum in Munich, Germany, which is a well-known museum, one of the employees is this 51-year-old who is an artist. So after hours, he decided he came up with this great idea. How do you get noticed if you're an artist? It's really impossible. There's so much work out there. So what he did is there were Salvador Dali paintings. There are Picasso paintings in this museum. He took down not those, but a few others, and he put up his own artwork. I think this is brilliant, right? The museum only caught on after about 24 hours. So they spent a whole day of museum goers looking at this security guard's artwork. And then somebody who does the rounds at the end of the night said, wait a minute, I don't recognize this painting. They were able to then tie it back to this 51-year-old. Now, I spent, by the way, a good hour yesterday looking for this guy's artwork, the security guard. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find it anywhere. I thought, God, somebody must have a picture of this. I could not find it anywhere. But there were people who went into the museum who were asked about it later after this 51-year-old, by the way, was fired from the job.
Oh, I would assume so. Yeah. This is like our doorman sneaking on radio commentaries because he's here late at night.
Yeah, so he was fired. He was let go. Don't know if the artwork is good, but the people who left the museum on, this was last week, they said, yeah, I actually do remember his paintings. So
I would be curious to see how it stacked up against some of the art that's typically there. But you can't do this. You can't just start taking down artwork in museums and putting up your own.
It's a brilliant idea.
I'm sure this guy is up to 10 million followers on social media by now.
We're going to see his artwork, no doubt, in the coming day. I mean, he should take advantage of it while he can, but good for him. Did you know, and I'll leave you with this last one, tenor Luciano Pavarotti.
I did not know him.
No. So Luciano Pavarotti, he was a famous opera singer, as you probably know. He's part of the three tenors. He had a longtime relationship with the Met, which is here in New York City, where he performed often. He loved performing there. Over the years, he fought obesity. And he went on numerous diets through the 70s and 80s that sometimes would work, but he would yo-yo like so many Americans do. He could not lose the weight. And then we come to find out, there's a new book out about him, that what he would do when he was at the Met, which was his favorite place to play, and he did often, was that he would squirrel away all kinds of Italian food that he could eat in between arias.
Oh my.
So he'd be out there belting a tune. Then he was off stage where somebody else was out there belting their own tune. And he had spots where he'd open up a panel and there'd be a bowl of pasta. Or he'd open up another panel, there'd be some meatballs. All Italian food, all heavy stuff that you would think, God, how does he eat this and then go back out there? But he did. He said, look, I got hungry during shows. This is what he told his manager. And I guess the Met didn't even know about that he was hiding the food because he was good at hiding it. And maybe some of the reason that he spent most of his life as a plump individual is that even during the opera, you would think, okay, 3 hours, you can stop eating for 3 hours. No, he had to have his Italian food during those operas.
My goodness. Yeah. Do they still use those panels for feeding other opera singers as far as we know?
No, but some of the people who are longtime workers at the opera were shocked to hear the story because they themselves had never witnessed it. But his manager says, no, true story. He hid food, no other opera hall, by the way. For some reason, it was just the Met. He hid food all over the Met as he performed there.
Are there any indications that the security guards at the Met are performing opera when when no one's looking?
We can only hope.
Thank you, Noam.
And now you know the rest of the story.
All right, we are going to do 15 seconds of fame in a moment. That's 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. I'll let you hear the last bit of Curtis and Andrew Giuliani taking a shot at my ping pong tournament from Saturday.
Pong table. Frank said he is already working on a second ping pong table. That's another thing, Curtis, I wanted to mention. Eric Adams is the mayor, and there happens to only be one ping pong table on the island of Staten. I can tell you that Richmond County would have multiple ping pong tables if Rudy Giuliani was still mayor.
No doubt, and this is what the Mama Luke, Frank Morano, had to say about his beloved sport of ping pong versus your beloved sport of golf.
He and I were talking about the appeal of golf, and I get it. I get it. It's not for me. It's not how I want to spend my time. And I love competition. I love sports. I love skills that you can improve at. I prefer ping pong. I prefer pickleball. I prefer softball, even flag football. Golf, just not for me.
I don't want to go Sid Rosenberg and brag a little too much, but Frank and I ended up facing off in the third round against each other. We were both undefeated at the time, Curtis. And I had a comeback victory against Frank Morano. I think I won like 21-16. It was a good match. It was back and forth, but I felt a little pride in there. I felt pretty good. And then Frank Morano's brother came on, and this guy's like a ping pong whiz over here. I thought I was like watching the Olympics trying to play this guy. I got 7 points against this guy. That's all I could get. So, Frank Morano, it was nice to actually get the better of Frank Morano on the ping pong table.
I cannot understand this, though. There were about how many people standing around, lollygagging around?
Well, they had great food. They had wonderful pizza. Rachel was great. We were able to yap and had a good time.
Don't make excuses for the guy. How many people were there just lollygagging around?
There were about 50 to 60 or so, some kids.
He had 1 year to get an additional ping pong table, and he couldn't even achieve that.
Well, he's working on it now.
This is not a pool table with slate in it.
I agree. If you are going to have a ping pong invitational and then name it after yourself, you want to get a second ping pong table. Or don't name it after yourself. Name it after, like, your worst enemy. He should have named it the Curtis Sliwa Ping Pong Invitational and have, like, half a table, a broken table.
Yeah, nobody would have come because I hate ping pong. I hate golf. And by the way, he could qualify for the Red Chinese team, right?
So there you go. The Curtis is making quite a bit of sport of me. But I do have to tell you, Andrew was a great player. He did indeed beat me. And I posted a little bit of the video of us playing on my Instagram page at Morano Vision, M-O-R-A-N-O Vision. Very good player. I was not surprised because he's a real athlete and is good at softball and obviously golf. And he was very good. Now, my brother Alexander is next level. Next level. He's a tremendous player. And there are a lot of good players. A lot of good players. And I would say three or four out of our really good players couldn't play this year. Cara Born and Country, who plays, she wasn't able to make it. My friend Brian Silverstein, he couldn't play. Jonathan Tirolosi, whose dad is listening to the show right now, getting ready for the final day of tax day. Great player, not able to make it this year. So hopefully next year we'll not only have a second table, but we'll be able to get some of those marquee players back for an even more competitive tournament. But it was a lot of fun. And look, all for charity, went to the American Cancer Society. 15 seconds of fame, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Five minutes till the top of the hour. Do you know what happened on this day in 1865? You probably do. President Lincoln died, obviously, after being shot by John Wilkes Booth. Fascinating situation. Do you know the doctor who worked on President Lincoln and treated him before he died? Dr. Bliss. What was Dr. Bliss's first name? Doctor. No. What was his first name? Doctor. Yes, I'm not joking. Dr. Bliss, the doctor that tried to save President Lincoln unsuccessfully, obviously. His actual first name was Doctor. Can you imagine? His parents named him Doctor. Oh, gee, what am I going to be as a profession when I grow up? Will I be a lawyer? Will I be a postman? Well, hey, I have this neat first name. I'll be a doctor. Be like if Hunter Biden was out, killing animals right now instead of claiming that he's getting special treatment by the Justice Department, or claiming that he's being singled out by the Justice Department. And, you know, Dr. Bliss, you would think after you preside over a president's death after an assassination, that subsequent presidents would keep you far away. Robert Todd Lincoln, who was Secretary of War under President James Garfield, after President Garfield is shot, Robert Todd Lincoln says, "Hey, I know the perfect doctor to treat the president." Yes, they bring in the same doctor, Dr. Bliss, the man with no first name, only a profession. They bring in Dr. Bliss to work on President Garfield, and he didn't do such a great job with President Garfield either. I mean, in the case of Lincoln, I don't think anything could have been done for him, but that was not the case with Garfield. Not the case at all. Great book about it. You can read. It's called Destiny of the Republic by Candace Millard. It's one of my favorite books. Not one of my favorite history books. One of my favorite books, period. Meantime, if you'd like to be heard for 15 seconds.
The Other Side of Midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
Jacqueline.
American political corruption gets more corrupt by the day.
Raji.
Risking 9/11 type retaliations, the U.S. will not forever be willing to protect Israel. So Israel must prepare to go it alone as the sworn extinctionists gain the upper hand. Thank you.
E. Frank.
Yes, Frank. What do you do when a ghost or spirit like Laura Ingalls Wilder knocks on your door for love? Do you call Amy Aldeli, Curtis Sliwa, or Mayor Adams?
Anthony.
On August 23rd, 2001, we were on the highest level of alert, and Terry Dew flew a parachute into the Statue of Liberty and was almost shot down because we scrambled jets within 15 minutes.
Robert.
The wireless provision of the Section 702 FISA reauthorization is especially disturbing, allowing the government to wireless spy on everyone.
All right, we'll have to end it there. Thank you, Robert. Tomorrow, interesting program with some stuff that we'll get into. Frank Moreno, good day.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.